My new book, Facts That Aren't True, is out now. Don't forget about my other book, Rational Answers to Stupid Questions.
Then give me the evidence for a law.
Well, so the evidence for a law is we give credence to people. I mean, that's why we have history. We take these things as truths, right? That's why you believe in the scientists. So if they have these credibilities, they do these work, we recognize that other people, we could depend on the credibility of other people reporting. And depending on the credibility of this man, the man...
You don't believe in credibility, or else you'd believe that Jesus was the Messiah.
I do believe in credibility.
You would also believe that he died on the cross for your sins.
We do believe in that Jesus is the Messiah.
You don't believe he died on a cross?
No, we don't.
Okay, so then you don't believe testimony.
Because there are two competing claims about this, and one comes from the credible person, the other comes from anonymous sources.
I would disagree. I would say that your anonymous sources are wrong. Muhammad didn't write anything.
You got a bunch of guys
after Muhammad claiming that they're writing down the words of Muhammad. That sounds like trust me, bro, to me.
All right. So, but Muhammad wouldn't be an anonymous source, would he?
Did he write anything?
No, he did not.
Okay, so we have a bunch of people writing stuff claiming that they're remembering the words of Muhammad.
It's a big old
trust me, bro.
Muhammad couldn't even weed.
Well, wait. His companions are not anonymous. When it comes to the biblical...
What were their names?
What's that?
What were their names?
We know of Abu Bakr, Zayd bin Thabit, Omar. We know of... I mean, I could go down the catalog. I mean, I don't memorize. Okay.
And what's the evidence that they wrote those?
That they wrote it? They have a lot of testimony. This is found in a lot of hadith.
Trust me, bro.
Okay. Sounds like a trust me, bro, because the early church claims that John really wrote John, claims that Matthew really wrote Matthew, claims that Luke was the physician that traveled with Paul.
No. So you're saying that now.
Sounds like you haven't actually studied your church history.
Who in the church history says that?
Almost all of the early church fathers believed that John was written by John, although some of them thought it was John the Elder, although most of them only believed John the Elder wrote Revelation. And they also believed that Luke was a traveling companion of Paul, because Luke appears in a lot of the we passages where Luke appears. And then, obviously, they believe that Matthew wrote Matthew. In fact, Matthew is one of the early Gospels that got the title Matthew applied to it. Now, the earliest manuscript of Matthew doesn't have the name Matthew in it. But of the manuscripts of the Gospels that do contain the names, Matthew is among one of the earliest. And the early church fathers wrote about Matthew.
The earliest church fathers wrote that Matthew, the disciple, was the one that wrote that book?
Yeah. Why do you think Christians believe it?
I've never heard of this.
Well, you didn't study church history, apparently. I think your eyewitnesses are just as weak as the Christian eyewitnesses. What about Tacitus and Suetonius, who claim that Serapis used Emperor Vespasian to heal a blind man and to heal somebody with a lame leg? Bertram, thank you for the gum.
What does that have to do with the crucifixion?
Well, what I'm saying is that there's lots of eyewitnesses for all kinds of made up mythology from the ancient world. Yours is no different.
Yeah. So we just go by again, what is reasonable?
Okay, sure. Tell me what's reasonable about a guy who marries children, who is a warlord, rides a donkey that flies and splits the moon in two. Give me the rationale for that one.
What makes that unreasonable?
Oh, do you think flying donkeys exist?
I just want to make sure
we've come full circle now. We've never observed abiogenesis, therefore we have to invoke a god. But at the same time, Muhammad had a flying donkey / flying horse, and he went up and split the moon in two. See the kind of like talking out of one side of your mouth and then talking out the other side of your mouth?
No, not at all. Because when we came down to the origin of abiogenesis, you invoked a space unicorn, right?
Because I was demonstrating to you that your leap to a god is an unnecessary leap. There's 100 things in between our explanation and your explanation. You're only choosing your explanation because that's the one you like.
Yeah, but why would you go to a space unicorn, something that you have no naturalistic evidence for?
Because it was funny.
The point was, your only argument in support of the creator was what we don't know about an alternative explanation. So we just invoked the whatever random thing Justin thought of on top of his head, and we said it's substantiated by the lack of an alternative explanation. Therefore, it's true. It was to demonstrate the folly of your logic.
No, I mean, you could always insert these types of exercises.
Precisely.
But that does not mean that anybody proposing them actually believes in them. So when you talked about this space...
That has nothing to do with whether or not it's true.
It has a lot to do with when it comes to truth claims. I mean, this is why they bring...
Nay,
right?
As the unicorn would say.
No, this is why they bring...
praise the holy unicorn of life.
Is why they bring people to testify in court, because you could make convictions or decisions based on what you think is reasonable. And I want to hear what another person believes is reasonable or what he believes to be true. So when you invoke the earth...
Right. So I just want to make sure we've done all this so far for you to do nothing but presuppose that your God is necessary rather than give the actual evidence for your God being necessary or existing in the real world.
Yep.
Have you ever argued with a Christian presuppositionalist?
No, what does that mean? What is a
presuppositionalist? Well, the whole argument of presuppositionalism is that if they can prove your worldview false, then their worldview is true by default. That's essentially what you're doing. You're just saying, listen, if I can prove this worldview false, then yours is true by default. But it's not.
No. I'm not saying that because yours is false might make mine correct. No, I'm saying
that is your argument.
No, not at all. I'm saying that yours is not tenable.
It is. Not only is it tenable, it's...
What was untenable about...
Yeah, not only
is naturalistic, correct?
Not only is it tenable, but you failed to give an explanation for why yours is a better alternative.
Well, could you engage with me for
that? All you're doing is more God of the Gaps word salad.
Yeah,
we haven't heard a single argument for your God yet. Well, and we've been talking for 35 minutes and you've not mentioned one piece of evidence in support of your God existing. Not one.
I go based on what is reasonable. So
you haven't. I started the conversation by asking you for the evidence that your God is real. And your whole argument for 35 minutes has been, you don't understand science, or you're just incredulous that life can't come from non-life, therefore you're a God. But that's not an argument. I want to know the argument that supports your God being real.
So I agree. We've been talking about 35 minutes. You guys have been doing most of the talking, though. I'm asking you, is your worldview naturalistic?
Because you keep pivoting rather than answering the question. We'll give you another try. I know it's hard because you guys are used to hanging out with children, but now you're with a room full of adults. So just answer the question. Do you have support for your God being real? Or is your only claim in this whole thing is, I don't see how abiogenesis can be true, therefore my God is real? Is that your only argument?
No, my argument is that my religion is more reasonable than yours.
It's
not.
We don't
have a religion.
We don't have a religion. So,
reasonable than your world.
So then the question is, what is the evidence that your religion is true?
No, I'm saying it's more reasonable than your world.
It's not. What is the evidence that your religion is true? If you don't have it, just say you don't have anything and we can move on. But being a coward and dodging it just makes you look worse. Do you have evidence that your God, your specific God, is real?
So what I'm appealing to is a credibility. For me,
it's a yes or no. It's a yes or no. Do you have evidence that your specific God is real?
Yes, my evidence.
Great. Then I would love to see the evidence, not the absence of evidence for whatever you think the alternative is. What's the evidence that supports your hypothesis?
The credibility of the narration surrounding the prophet.
Great. Okay. Now, what about that narration would lead me to believe that God is real?
What about the narrations?
Yeah. Why should I believe them?
That the people...
Because the narration also says that you can cure all sciatica pain using the fat of a Bedouin sheep tail.
That's what
it says? Do you think that that's the cure for sciatica pain?
No, but is that what it says?
Yeah.
This narration says that.
I can find it for you. Do you doubt me?
I've never heard of sciatica in the Hadith.
Also, from whence cometh sperm?
Yeah, yeah, and the origin of sperm is a problem. So I've got in Sunan Ibn Majah 34:63, Book 31, Hadith 28. And it reads, I heard the messenger of Allah saying, the cure for sciatica is the fat from the tail of the Bedouin sheep or the wild sheep, which is to be melted and divided into three parts, one part to be taken each day on an empty stomach. The quotation supposedly came from Anas bin Malik.
Anas bin Malik?
More like dishonest Ben Malik.
You said that the Prophet said that?
Yeah.
Could you give me that again real quick? Sorry, let me.
Yeah, I can put it on the screen for you. 1 second. Let me pull it up for you. Mm-hmm. There we go. Says, I heard the messenger of Allah saying, the cure for sciatica is the fat from the tail of the Bedouin sheep or wild sheep, which should be melted and divided into three parts, one part taken each day on an empty stomach.
This is interesting. I mean, I'd look into this. No, I would look into this. I mean, this is not. I wouldn't say that this is a cure or not. I mean, there's. I work in medicine, and I don't know if all cures.
Well, as it turns out, there's a medical doctor that came up to talk to us real quick. Ems, do you think that the fat of the Bedouin sheep tail can cure sciatica pain?
No, can't. I didn't really do that. Yeah, dates do not cure poisons.
I would look into that. But I mean, if we're going to do this again, I'm saying that whatever my worldview is, it's more reasonable than yours. So if you're
because of the credibility of the testimony or the witnesses, yeah, hearsay is the threshold by which you will validate the existence of the supernatural. That's insane. There's a crackhead that lives in the riverbank down the house from me, and he's got all kinds of ideas about other dimensions, probably, and he says it. So, but the idea that vaults an idea to likely to be true is just so ridiculous.
Yeah,
I just want to make sure we're clear on this too, Busy. You're suggesting you started the conversation. You wasted 35 minutes by trying to make this an argument of the atheist worldview versus the theist worldview, because you didn't want to defend your actual worldview. You wanted to leave all the nonsense part of your worldview out of it because you knew it was going to cook you. Now, after 35 minutes of pressing, 40 minutes of pressing, we're finally addressing your actual worldview. And your actual worldview is not the most likely thing. The idea that a guy rode a winged donkey and split the moon in two, and that you can cure sciatica pain by eating sheep fat, or that sperm comes from between the ribs and the backbone, that's not a likely worldview because it's full of things that are false. What's up, Em?
Can you bring up Bukhari 3199?
Yeah, yeah. Sahih al-Bukhari 3199 coming in says, the Prophet asked me at sunset, do you know where the sun goes at the time of the sunset? I replied, Allah and his apostle know better. He said, it goes, i.e. travels, till it prostrates itself underneath the throne and takes the permission to rise again. And it is permitted then. A time will come when it will be about to prostrate itself, but its prostration will not be accepted. And it will ask permission to go on its course, but it will not be permitted. But it will be ordered to return whence it came so that it will rise in the west. Holy shit. And this is saying that the rotation of the earth is going to change because it doesn't know that the earth is...
The sun goes and it bows down underneath the throne of God, and then it asks permission to rise again. And that is when it comes back in the east. But one day, it will not be allowed to go to the east. So it will go back to the west. And that is when the sun is going to rise in the west.
Right. And it says, that the sun runs its fixed course. It doesn't have a fixed course. Yeah. It's not running anywhere. We're just rotating. We're going around the sun.
The idea that the sun is sitting there like, please, can I rise again? Can I do that? And then something's there to tell it yes or no.
By the way, Peterson, when you go to the scholars, they tell you that this is a real movement. They say specifically, this is a real movement, not a what is it called? Not a, like a allegorical one. It's a literal movement and a literal prayer that it does to God to ask permission to rise again.
That's like, that's flirting with polytheism right there.
It really is. All right, so what's the next piece of evidence that would make Islam the most likely case?
Yeah, as a totality, I believe that is far more credible. As a totality, I believe it's far more credible than whatever you.
I agree with you. We just demonstrated that it is.
Yeah, but we didn't. Again, it's more reasonable. More reasonable means.
I agree with you. We just demonstrated
more, so. One second. More reasonable is a comparison. You believe that this reality organized itself. There's no evidence for that. So
no, again, he keeps running away. No. I'm not going to let you do it. Because you keep comparing your religion to a very narrow and very specific idea of what you think is the only alternative, and it's not. It could be that there's a life-granting unicorn. It could be that there's a deistic God that just kicked everything into motion. It could be that there's a naturalistic explanation for it. All of those things are as equally as valid as the nonsense you're putting forth. I'm not asking you to say whether or not you understand science. I'm asking you to give us the proof that would lead us to believe that your God is responsible for it, as opposed to any other God or any other hypothesis.
When you said that they're equally as credible as mine, why do you pick one if they're all equal?
Exactly. Yeah, all of our made-up concepts of God are equally as plausible as yours. Actually, I would say they're less plausible than yours. Like, the deistic God has a lot less implications involved. With your God, you think that your God created everything intentionally and, like, has a plan and a purpose, which just makes him sick because he kills people randomly via natural disasters. He's going to torture people in hell. All this nonsensical stuff that doesn't really have a good explanation for and isn't really necessary to just explain how a higher being could have invented life. Shit, it could be that Vore is right. It could be that we're literally just in a simulation. That's equally as plausible as your God. Although I'd say in the simulation hypothesis, whoever created the simulation probably isn't a kitty diddler.
Yeah.
And well, I would say that Doug is more likely than Allah.
Hell yeah, Doug is, yeah.
Yeah. All right.
But if you're going to take that position, right, you're making all of these criticisms from the basis that you have a point, that you have some type of basis for those, for living those arguments. We don't. We live in this reality, and you can't argue morals unless you say that somebody created this.
Here comes another pivot. I don't believe it. I don't believe that morals exist. Do you believe that morals exist?
Look, bro. The only reason I came up here was because I hear you and the other guy. You're able to listen at length to other people. For some reason, when I present these challenging arguments,
you want to know they're not challenging arguments. They're endless pivots. That's the difference, because you can't stay on task, you can't answer questions, and actually get on an actual point of dialogue, you want to pivot to something new, which means we can't make up any ground. We can't get anywhere.
The frequency of interruptions positively correlates with the frequency of errors. So that kind of tells you everything you need to know.
Yeah, that is true. Yeah. Do you think that women should be trusted as much as men when signing a contract when you need witnesses?
Well, in our books, it's two female witnesses.
Yeah, so are women not as good as men?
They are as good as men.
Why do you need two of them for one man?
But necessary for this particular transaction, you need two women.
Why?
That's just how the rules are.
Why? Does the text give you a reason?
It is available for the scholars. The reason, because I showed it to you was the moment before.
The reason the text is that
her does your memory, does your religion teach that it's bad reason, to lie?
The reason in her text is that it's her memory.
Oh, so do women have worse memories than men?
It would seem like that when it comes to these types of specifics.
Ems, medical doctor, what say you?
There's literally no difference at all.
Just to be specific,
there is no significant difference or statistical difference.
Do you think that
women on average do better in school than men? So they might actually have better memories, but
it's true.
It might be due to something else.
Pursuing medicine now are females, so
they actually crush men in memory competitions. I don't know if you guys are aware of this, but anyways, the long and short of it is, it's a nonsensical rule that's misogynistic. Another reason why this guy isn't plausible. Do you think that sperm comes from between the rib cage and the spine?
In a way, that argument could be made.
Give me the argument. I'd love to hear it.
I've heard of this one that
because
queen could be from a top view, not necessarily a side view or frontal view.
a top view? Does it say from a top
sense,
view?
It doesn't. From that sense, the entire body is between the backbone and ribs. Why did he have to specify that what the sperm is coming from is between the backbone and the ribs if the entire body is?
I'm not sure.
There's no wisdom there if that's the case. That's like saying it comes from the body. Oh, I could have guessed.
Scholars say that specifically it is below the collarbone and between the breasts. So.
Yeah, so like the idea that this God is more plausible, that doesn't know biology or science or physics, more plausible than the life-granting unicorn, I say poo-poo on that.
Actually, Justin, could you bring up Muslim 315A?
Yeah, sure.
Hey, while you do that, Busy, I've got a song for you. Ready? Here comes a sun. Here comes a sun. It's all right. There you go. That's for the Quran right there.
That's a work of art. So,
again, my argument still is that whatever my religion is still more reasonable than whatever you believe.
So, oh, certainly not. So, Ems,
you wanted to
do Sahih Muslim 3158, did I hear right?
No, it is 315A. Like the letter.
Oh, 5A, I apologize. Okay. Sahih Muslim 315A.
But it is proving his point that this is more logical than any other explanation. Just scroll down to the bottom.
Oh, it's a long one, yeah.
It is what it is. Just go to.
It says the reproductive substance.
Read it from the beginning. Like, not the entire thing from the. Not from the entire thing. The beginning on the screen. Like, the beginning line on the screen.
Oh, I see. Yeah. Up here, okay. It says.
The Jew asked the prophet. Sure, go ahead.
Okay, yeah. The Jew asked a prophet. Here we go. Blah, 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 blah. Let's see. There's a lot of mention to the Jew here. Anyways, well, let's start here. It says, he, the holy prophet, said, what would it benefit you if I tell you that? He, the Jew, said, I would lend ears to that. Then he said, I have come to ask you about the child. He, the holy prophet, said, the reproductive substance of a man is white, and that of a woman, i.e. ovum central portion, yellow.
It doesn't say that.
And it doesn't say that in Arabic?
I wouldn't think the prophet is talking about the central portion of the ovum. He isn't saying that. Mm. It's said it by the translator. So just think between the brackets.
Gotcha, okay. And when they have intercourse and the male substance prevails upon the female substance, it is the male child that is created by Allah's decree. What? The sex is determined by whether or not one substance prevails over the
other? In Arabic it says, whoever comes first, so whoever ejaculates first. So if the man ejaculates before the woman, then that's what is going to be a boy.
And this is crazy.
This is further proving that Islam is the most logical explanation of this universe.
I mean, it makes the most sense to me. I mean, I guess I'm going to throw out the life-granting unicorn tonight.
And by the way, before he gave the answer, he said that Gabriel has come down and gave me the answers. So This is straight from Gabriel's mouth.
Straight from Gabriel. All right. Well, listen, Busy, I think we had we've had you on for like 50, almost an hour now, 53 minutes. So we appreciate you hanging out with us. And I hope you understand that we don't find this to be the most compelling argument for how things came to be.
Likewise, I don't think your guys' viewpoints resonate with me either. So,
sure. All right. Yeah, I would definitely stick with the one that talks about diddling children.